¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Welcome everyone to the Dark Forest. If you're new to the channel, consider subscribing. Click that notification bell so you never miss another video. A shout out to my patrons and my channel members. You know, we are in the process of buying our home together. And one of the things that I want to do with my future little baby elf is, do some backyard camping. You know, it's free and you have full access to some real bathrooms. But sometimes, depending on where you may lie, you may not be alone outside. There may be someone or something outside there in the dark with you. If you grew up in the suburbs, you were probably a decent distance away from nature. I'm not talking about a park or a pond or anything like that. But real deep woods nature, get away from everything kind of nature. I know I was. I grew up outside suburban blank, and the closest natural camping area was at least 4 hours away. My family had a history of camping. We usually went to the river a few times a year, and a few local campsites a few more than that. But we really never got off the grid. Our campsites always had showers, dumpsters, and pipe-filled water. Fish and game would always patrol at night. Campers and RVs as far as the eye can see. It was fun. I loved being outdoors. I would beg my parents to let me camp in the backyard, but they always held a firm line. You're not old enough to take care of yourself yet. When I was about 16, I had turned a corner in my parents' mind. I was cleaning up after myself, doing my homework right away, helping around the house. I was maturing right in front of them. I was taking care of myself. This time, when I asked if I could camp outside, they signed and agreed. I was so excited. For my birthday that year, my parents had got me a small 2-person pop-up tent. They said I was ready to sleep alone on our camping trips, but I think they just wanted some privacy. And I didn't want to ask why. That was between them and God, and I was happy to stay out of the equation. I planned on staying outside for a 3-day weekend. We had Friday off from school because of a local holiday, and I spent the day setting up my site. I cleared the land, set up my tent, went grocery shopping for camping food, and my parents even let me dig a little fire pit. When the sun began to set, I said goodbye to parents. Walked the 50 feet to my campsite and started a little fire. I ate about a dozen s'mores. I kept the fire going until around midnight. I spent that time reading comics by the lantern light and staying warm. What I noticed is how different familiar places looked in the dark. My house was only a stone's throw away from me, but it looked completely foreign in the pitch black. When my parents finally shut down for the evening around 11 or so, it looked even more strange. Even in the suburbs, nature has a way of creeping in, especially at night. Just outside your warm little room, the night awakens all kinds of creatures. The crickets sing, owls fly and hoot, raccoons and possums crawl along the ground, dogs around the neighborhood bark and howl in the distance. A lot happens without you even being aware. When I started yawning, I had decided that I had probably had enough. I doused my fire with sand and closed up shop for the night. I crawled inside my tent, zipped it up, and laid in my sleeping bag. As crickets chirped outside, I slowly drifted off to sleep. Then I heard it. Cliché as it might sound, I heard a stick snap in my yard. I wasn't worried right away, it could be any number of things. But I did open my eyes and listen a lot closer to what was going on outside my tent. I heard the wind blow and the trees in my backyard rustle, but nothing that sounded like a person walking around. I debated getting up and going outside, but my rational brain kept me in check. If it was a person and they wanted to do me harm, what could I possibly do? I laid my head back down and closed my eyes, but I knew there was no way I was going to fall asleep anytime soon. I kept my ears open and listened for anything out of the ordinary. Any other twigs snapping, or someone walking through a pile of leaves or something. After 15 minutes or so, satisfied I hadn't heard anything out of the ordinary, I finally drifted off to sleep. When you sleep outside, you wake up when the sun comes up. For me, that was around 6:30 in the morning, and I was not exactly pleased. I had a rough night's sleep and not nearly enough of one. I needed to go to the bathroom, so I put on my flip-flops, unzipped my tent, and walked out. That's when the blood drained from my face. Just outside the door of my tent were a few footprints. They were hard to see because most of my yard is grass, but in the dirt from the freshly dug fire pit, I saw two as clear as day. They weren't mine. They were huge. My heart nearly came out of my chest. My mouth went dry and my brain felt fuzzy. Was there someone outside my tent last night and I didn't know? Did I almost die because I was too afraid to check it out? I felt my legs start to wobble a bit, but I caught myself. I sprinted towards my back door, carefully not to look behind me. I whipped open the door and I was surprised to be greeted by the smell of bacon. My parents were already up and cooking breakfast. They turned to welcome me, but when they saw my chalk-white face, they paused. "You okay, honey?" my mom asked.
Yeah, I'm fine," I lied.
"You don't look fine," my dad added. "Rough night's sleep is all. I think the neighborhood dogs were excited by the moon or something."
"Okay," my mom said, not believing a word I said.
"We made some breakfast to surprise you, but you came bursting in here."
"Oh yeah, I have to go to the bathroom," I said and walked out of the room.
I went into the bathroom and splashed water on my face and took several deep breaths. I was fine. Nothing happened. I need to keep my cool or my parents will never let me do anything like this again, I told myself as I was being dumb and nothing had happened. I almost believed it myself. When I sat down to eat my food, my dad looked over at me and smirked.
"What?"
"You're a loud snorer," he said with a chuckle.
"You heard me from out there?" I said, shoveling eggs into my face.
"No," he said, looking away. "I came out last night to check on you."
"Dad!"
"We wanted to make sure you were okay," Mom added, and it was. "You'll understand when you have kids one day."
"When did you come outside?"
"Around one-ish, I think."
Then the tumblers clicked.
"Wait, where were you standing to listen to me?"
"In front of your tent, why?"
I started to laugh.
"It was my dad. Of course." I nearly shot eggs out of my nose. My parents looked at each other and then back at me.
"I had a dream I saw you," I said, lying.
"I must have seen you outside my tent."
"Not as quiet as I thought," he said, taking a bite of toast.
"I guess not," I said, catching my breath.
"Seriously, though, I'm fine. Last night went without a hitch. Tonight will be no different." They nodded in agreement. I felt fine again. I took a swig of OJ, and I could feel my entire body relax.
There wasn't anyone out there. Why would there be? We're in the middle of suburbia.
As the night fell, I once again got a good fire going. I used a stick rubbing method, which took forever, but eventually got going. And yes, I am aware of how that sounds out of context. I wanted to test myself to see if I could get something going for when I eventually did go off the grid camping. It took a minute, but the food I cooked over the flame last night tasted sweeter because of it. That night was a new moon and it was pitch black. The only light was my fire, which I kept burning bright in my gas lantern. After I had finished reading my book for the night and doused my fire, I decided to walk the backyard.
not totally sure why I wanted to do this, but I felt compelled. I started at the front right corner and worked my way to the fence counterclockwise. If my neighbors saw me, they'd assume I'd be up to no good, but thankfully they were old and it was late. I didn't see anything along the fence, which was not surprising. I don't know what the hell I was expecting to find, but I kept going. When I got to the far right corner, I stopped and stared into the backyard of the neighbors directly behind us. I couldn't see much. They had a line of hedges that they worked like a privacy fence. The people that lived there were new to the area, and my parents had met them and chatted between the fences. They seemed nice. Their backyard was spotless. As I moved along our cyclone fence, I noticed something clinging to the top railing. I swung my lamp around and saw a clump of dried mud that looked like it had been scraped off the metal. I walked over and touched it, and it crumbled and fell to the ground. That's when I saw footprints. The same ones I had seen in the morning in front of my tent. Someone had been there, and it sure in hell wasn't my dad. I froze and didn't know what to think. I suddenly became very aware that I was alone in the darkest night of the month. I decided not to check the rest of the fence and slowly walked backwards towards my tent. I didn't know if anyone was watching, but I wanted to be ready to run in case they were. Then I heard the gate to my backyard open. In a flash, I quickly shut off my lantern. The darkness was sudden and terrifying. I wanted to run back to my house, but whatever was back there now was closer to the back door than I was, and they could absolutely catch me. I was stuck. I ducked down and squatted down along the fence line. I held on to my lantern because, if it came down to it, I was going to bash this into the face of whatever the hell had come into my yard. I didn't realize it at first, but I started to shiver from fear. Whoever walked into my backyard didn't close the gate behind them. My guess was they wanted it for an easy escape route for when they finished. I didn't even want to think about what they wanted to finish. My eyes started to adjust to the darkness, but I still could barely make out anything. I saw my tent. The fabric wavered a bit in the breeze. And then I saw a figure walk near it. It was a man, and he was big. He moved slowly around the tent. He was like an animal stalking its prey. I kept the windows and door all zipped up, and if he wanted to go in, he was going to have to risk unzipping the tent and waking me up. The man stopped and stared back out at the house. Then he took something out from his waistband. It was a knife. He slowly moved away from the tent and made his way to the back door. I knew it was unlocked because my parents wanted a way for me to go inside if it got too cold or too scared. He was heading inside and my parents were fast asleep. I needed to do something, but my mind was all over the place. I heard him walking up the deck stairs towards the back door, and I knew I was running out of time. I grabbed my lantern and tossed it as hard as I could to the opposite side of the yard. It landed with a smash on the ground. The man stopped and looked over in the direction of the noise. He turned away from my back door and ducked down. He waited a few seconds and then slowly started towards the noise. I looked over and saw the shovel I had used to dig the fire pit. Thankfully, I was just irresponsible enough to have kept it out. I slowly started moving backwards towards the tent at the same time the man was walking towards the broken lantern. I knew I didn't have a lot of time, and I had to grab the shovel and hide before he realized it was just a lantern and not a person, before he knew that he was being watched too. I was as quiet as I had ever been, my eyes moving from the shovel to the man. I took shallow breaths and kept moving. As soon as I grabbed the shovel, I ducked down and made my way to the back of the house. I hid along the wall, doing my best to blend along with the shadows. The man got to the fence line, picked up the broken lantern. He turned and headed back towards the tent. I was stunned at how fast he moved. In a few strides, he stood outside the back of the tent. I saw him raise a knife and then slice along the fabric. I could hear it tear from where I was sitting. Then, with violence I have not ever witnessed since, He stabbed down violently into my sleeping bag. Again and again, he was focused on making whoever was in that tent pay. My legs felt like jello, my mouth was dry, and I could barely catch my breath, but I knew I had to do something, and my window for action was closing. If I didn't get him now while he was distracted, I was never going to get him. As quickly and quietly as a deer, I ran towards him with the shovel above my head. As soon as I came within striking distance, I slammed the shovel down on his head. The man stumbled back and clutched his head. I raised it to strike again, but he scrambled out of reach. I yelled as loud as my voice could go. I kept yelling. Behind me, the lights to my parents' room snapped on. So did the neighbors. All of them, I think. The man got up, dropped his knife, and ran, hitting the gate and stumbling as he ran away. My parents came rushing out, and I dropped in their arms in tears. I never hugged them tighter in my life. The police came and took a report, roped off the scene, and took evidence. I learned later that a few people had been stabbed to death a few towns over, and this was probably the same person. It didn't make me feel any better. Nothing ever came from the police report. They never found the guy. My parents installed security cameras, and our camping trips dropped down to zero. I've had a lot of counseling over the years, and I've even gone camping from time to time, never managed to do any off-grid camping. I had a strange request from my parents. I wanted his knife. I knew it was evidence, and I might not ever get to see it, but I had to ask. The police said that they needed to hold on to it. About 5 years later, they closed the case and gave it to me. I have it still, a memento of the bravest thing I had ever done. I moved on from that town and tried to leave everything in the past. Every once in a while, I get a trickle down my spine like someone is watching me. It's probably PTSD, but sometimes I wonder. I always look for footprints in the soil outside my house. So far, I haven't seen any. But last night, when I let my dog out into the backyard, I swear, I heard someone jump over my fence.